Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, a Canadian airline has lost a bunch of planes to hail damage. There's a drive to rename the Sutter Buttes. And Frontier Airlines starts service to San Diego and LAX. Those stories next in the news.
Many of us are ride-sharing, Uber, Lyft, whatever your choice. There are some basic rules to follow, my friends, and we'll radio share them with you in our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:25.
Albania is a country in Europe near Italy and Greece. At 11:35, our travel gal Sydney joins us to tell you a little bit about this mostly undiscovered country, and she has some ideas on how to see Albania.
Odds and Ends come up at 11:50 and featuring everything from a new way to get on our to get to our airport as part of it. And then there's the question, would you pay more to pick the gender of a person sitting next to you on a plane? What airline is finding out?
We are just full of things you should know when you travel. Maybe that's why they call us the Travel Guys.
Here we are. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, live every Saturday as a rule, right here on the radio, on iHeartRadio, on your podcast. Travel and Entertainment Guys brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark, welcome back. Last week we were struggling with the radio show as we were doing it in New York.
My apologies to people. Sometimes those remote things, when you're trying to do one and a half things at the same time, I liked your intro there, mostly live.
Mostly live.
mostly live. but always genuine, for sure. I went out and watched the mostly live River Cats Thursday night against the Salt Lake City Bees. I hadn't been out to the ballpark. I'm a huge baseball guy, and I hadn't been out to the ballpark for several years. I had been out to the ballpark for a while because imagine my surprise when I found out that parking was $15. The last time I went to a minor league baseball game, Thomas, you could park, buy a ticket, get a hot dog and a Coke for $15. So
Well, shame on you for being an infrequent flyer of a River Cats game. Well, with that being said, how was it for you? I mean, since it'd been a while since you've been out to the park, do you enjoy the park, the game, the surroundings, the parking?
I did. It was kind of a nondescript game. You know, baseball games can be that way. I guess any sporting event could be that way. But the River Cats fell behind and didn't show a whole lot of spark. We were the guests of folks from KVIE.
Oh, nice.
Once a year they do a thing for folks. Sports Leisure Vacations has been an underwriter. I'm a firm believer in the good of public television, and we've been a supporter of KVIE for many years. So once a year they invite some of the businesses that support them out to the ballpark for an evening. So we were up in one of the suites, but I went outside and sat down for a little while, and it's a beautiful ballpark. There's going to have to be a few changes. Some of them are already happening. The clubhouse expansion and stuff like that for the A's to come next year, because Major League Baseball has certain specifications, and their contract with the players means that they have to do certain, you know, they have to provide certain facilities and stuff, and some of those facilities do not exist at a AAA ballpark. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, there's going to be something going on at that ballpark during baseball season almost every single day from April until the River Cats will finish in early September, and then the A's, of course, will go till the end of September. And you mentioned when we were talking beforehand that there are a couple of nights in the spring when the A's will be playing on one side of the river and the Kings will be playing on the other side of the river. So that's, you know, I mean, we've gone from being a cow town to being, you know, perhaps a real city. And who knows what will happen with all of this baseball stuff. I mean, maybe the Kings owner is all that money in Las Vegas is not guaranteed yet. There is absolutely no guarantee that team is going to Las Vegas in 3 years. So
absolutely. Now, since it had been a long time since you've been out there, you probably noticed that the landscape around the park has dramatically changed, as there are condos, and I'm guessing mostly condos, not necessarily rentals, but there are lots of people living all around the outside of the park, and they probably kind of was novel to have one ball club there. Now they're going to find it a little bit extra busy to have two ball clubs playing there every day. I know you mentioned that your dream retirement would be to live close enough to a ballpark where you could walk to games almost every day
the exact condos that you're talking about are right next to the parking lot, and as Clayton and I were walking up to the ballpark, I said, you wouldn't have to pay $15 to park. If the game got boring, you just walk home. No, that is very enticing, especially now that a quasi-major league team is coming to Sacramento. I say quasi because we all know that over the years, the A's have had some challenges being competitive with the type of budget that they have. And don't think that all of a sudden, just because they're coming to Sacramento, that there's going to be a whole lot more money is going to pop up all of a sudden for that baseball team. So they're saving their money for Las Vegas. So it's what we're doing is making sure that Major League Baseball knows that the next time that there's an expansion or a team needs to flee to a new city and they have to pick someplace, it's going to be like, hey, we're Sacramento. Remember us? We've already done this once. So, and if the A's leave Northern California, there's no reason that there can't be a Major League team in San Francisco and a Major League team in Sacramento. This said by a man who for many years has made money taking people to Giants games in San Francisco. So it'll be interesting next year whether or not Giants fans will still want to go, or they'll cave in and go to a game. Of course, the Giants will be here for a couple of games. Good luck with getting a ticket to one of those. But anyhow, it'll be fun. It's another way our city is growing up, and congratulations to West Sacramento, because the ballpark is on the other side of the river, so technically the Major League team is going to play in West Sacramento.
Yep, there you go. Well, boy, we could talk about this the rest of the hour, but
we could.
At the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And again, with it, all there is that is travel news, here's Mark.
Those guys would just stop babbling and talk about travel, which is why I tuned into the program in the first place. So we have this little thing called the monologue at the top of the show, and it has no limits. So we might talk about everything from childless cat ladies to minor league baseball in Sacramento. All right, the travel news. Up at the top, this is kind of an interesting story. Interesting from afar, but not interesting if you're involved. WestJet, which is the second biggest Canadian airline after Air Canada, their big hub airport is in Calgary. And Calgary had a horrible hailstorm, which it just, at a hub airport, if you've ever flown into one, you'll see, you fly into Denver. At one point in time, there are 75 United airplanes on the ground for 45 minutes, and then they all take off, and 45 minutes later, there are 75 different planes on the ground. So at a hub airport, a lot of the planes, and this hailstorm occurred when there were a lot of WestJet planes on the ground. It was a horrible hailstorm. There was actual hail damage to a number of planes. What did they say? 16 aircraft were grounded. To give you an idea, they've got, 70-something aircraft? So that's a lot. I mean, 16 is a lot. So the reason I mention this is because, obviously, it's an airline in Canada, so what difference does that make to us? WestJet code shares with Delta Airlines. Delta flies to Seattle from here. A lot of people use Delta Airlines to get to Seattle and then continue into Canada on WestJet. So in some cases, those flights, when you bought them, had Delta flight numbers on them. So if you're going into Canada and you're flying with Delta, you may want to double check things. Now, it's possible the airline, if the flight's been canceled, this has been almost a week ago, they may have very well gotten a hold of you by now. But that system is not foolproof. So if you are scheduled to fly with Delta Airlines somewhere in Canada over the coming months, it's entirely possible that that flight or flights were on WestJet Airlines as a code share, and you want to double check that just to make sure that it's still operating. as they get these planes back into service. Also, your flight might be operating today in October, but maybe in 2 weeks they've shuffled things and it changes. So just if you're, if you had a WestJet flight, you definitely want to check on it. But if you're flying with Delta, they connect to WestJet in many cases. So something you would only know if you listen to the travel guys. Listen, visitors in California last year, these are visitors from out of state, not visitors within the state. This doesn't count if we went to Monterey. It counts if somebody from Poughkeepsie went to Monterey. $150 billion last year. That is a new record. A billion with a B. You couldn't even fit that much money in your pocket. I'm just saying. We mentioned this last week. It's worth mentioning again because they've added to the list here. More Hawaii flights are now going to have Wi-Fi, which is really cool because it's 5 hours to get out there. And if you don't have a whole lot to do on the airplane, let's face it, having a working phone and stuff is an awesome thing to play games, answer email, whatever it is you're going to do. So it's entirely possible. This is impacting Hawaiian, Delta, United, some American Airlines flights, Southwest. It's going to give them better reception so that the signal doesn't crap out over the ocean on you.
Yeah, instead of spending a little extra for the Wi-Fi and spend all of your time watching a little clock go around and around and around and never make a connection, if it's a lot more solid, then it'll be worth it. I'll wait.
There you go.
And see how that works out for you.
The first pickleball, U.S. Pickleball Convention, I don't know what this has to do with travel, except that probably a lot of people traveled to the pickleball convention, was in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the sport reportedly counts more than 36 million players in the United States, 24 million of whom are over the age of 60.
Yes, pickleball is big for us old people.
Yeah.
You know, have you ever played pickleball?
I have never played pickleball. I used to play tennis back in the day. And when I was
you don't have to move nearly as much in pickleball.
I know. Used to play my high school PE instructor for a nickel a game. We used to play tennis, which I'm sure
lost a lot.
The administration would have frowned on if they knew about it. But I mean, you could lose as much as a quarter or 30 cents over the course of, you know, a 30-minute tennis match. Coach Kundert from Maryloma High School, may he rest in peace. Hey, this is something, again, I don't know if this is a travel story or not, but I thought it was pretty interesting. The Sutter Buttes, which are known as the world's smallest mountain range. I mean, you can actually look this up on Google, and it says world's smallest mountain range, Sutter Buttes, which are, you know, you can see on a clear day, which doesn't happen very often, but you can see them occasionally from Sacramento. You fly over them on the way in. There is a drive underway to change the name of the Sutter Buttes to become the Sacred Buttes. This comes from the U.S. Board on Geographic Names. Now, before you say, you know, go mind your own business, there's a little bit of legitimacy to this. The Sutter Buttes are known as a sacred spot to Native American tribes in the area. Mr. Sutter, it is well documented, his relationship with Native American tribes was positive on any level.
Yeah, okay.
So to have their sacred spot named after a guy who mistreated their people, this is kind of like the Cleveland Indians and the Washington Redskins. You know, are you going to keep a name? It's named after a guy who, perhaps in this case, because of the conditions around that particular destination. So anyway, they're the U.S. Board on Geographic Names mentioned that they heavily weigh local feedback, and so they're going to provide information where citizens can reach out to the board and this California Advisory Committee on name changes to see if there is enough interest to change the name of the Sutter Buttes to the Sacred Buttes. Don't throw things at me. I just delivered the news.
Just reporting the news.
That's it. The vacation rental industry is stepping up lobbying in the face of stiffer regulation. The growth rate of homes being available as vacation homes has slowed considerably as municipalities are placing limits on how those homes can be rented out to other people. Mostly that's because the people surrounding those homes do not want homes to be bought up and then used as vacation rentals. They don't care if you go on vacation for 2 weeks and you rent out your home because you're coming back to it. and you will care about what condition it's in and who you rented it to. But in many cases, companies are buying up properties and turning them into vacation rentals, and that's what local people are up in arms about. So Airbnb, this is not a story or press release from them, but basically their lobbying efforts are being quadrupled in price over what they used to be. It's not huge. The numbers here, they're going to spend $1 million where they used to spend $380,000. Let me tell you, in Washington, D.C., $1 million didn't get you very much. Mm-hmm. Might get you three lobbyists and an office, maybe. Two lobbyists and somebody to answer the phone and an office. You know, it's not a whole lot. So anyways, they're concerned. So for those of you who think that, you know, your neighborhood is being bought up by speculators who are renting to just anybody who comes along, then this is something that you would be concerned about. Listen, hotel workers in cities around the country could go on strike later this month. Includes San Francisco, would not be all the hotels. Also includes San Diego, San Jose, and Seattle. There are a couple dozen workers in selected hotels that could go on strike. They have they don't have a contract. Their contract expires at the end of the month. My goodness, San Francisco has so many issues with empty office building spaces down there. I can't imagine a strike wiping out conventions or something like that. Last week we talked about the danger of taking selfies in a dangerous situation. Travelers United did a survey. 46% of people said they have witnessed a selfie close call, almost an accident. 37% of people said they personally have almost fallen or been injured by taking a selfie. 7% said they have seen somebody get injured while taking a selfie. That adds up to 90%. So
there you go. That's why we're talking about it.
Frontier Airlines has service now to LAX once a day and San Diego once a day. This is, be careful. These are the airlines that tend to sell things individually, like seating assignments, baggage checks, stuff like that. There's an LA flight in the morning at 8:30. Comes back from Los Angeles at 10:45. The flight to San Diego is at 5:30 in the evening, and the Sacramento return is at 11:45 in the morning. There's a couple of other things here, but I'm already way over my time, so that'll be your travel news for today.
All right, and part of your travel news today here on the Travel Guys is the latest from Rudy's Hideaway. I know we've been bragging about the Travel Guys special 6-ounce lobster tail with the fixins for only $29.95. Well, get ready, my friends. Doing battle with the 6-ounce lobster tail is the live 1-pound Maine lobster, my friends, for only $28, including corn and fries.
Wait a minute. Time out. That has to be some kind of a misprint.
It's a 1-pound Maine lobster, 1-pound live. It's the whole lobster.
Do they kill
lobster.
It and cook it for you, or does it just stare at you while you eat your corn? And
well, that's why my wife doesn't take the live 1-pound Maine lobster, because she can't handle the staring.
What was the price on that again?
Is it $28?
Holy cow! Yeah. You'll have to do the rest of the show by yourself. I'm headed down to Rudy's.
All right, be sure to tell them that Mark and Tom, the Travel Guy, sent you 1-pound Maine lobster, corn and fries, 28, or the Travel Guy special. You get the tail, you don't have to look at it for $29.95. Let's do some radio sharing here, Mark, about rideshare.
And some of these tips are for people who rideshare all the time. They're going to say, well, of course, I already know that. But for people who only occasionally rideshare, or for people, you know, everybody does that for the first time once. So if you're a new ridesharer, there are a few things that veteran ridesharers regularly do that you should know about, so that you keep yourself out of harm's way. Some of them are very simple things. If it's nighttime and you've requested a ride, try to stay indoors if you possibly can. Until your ride arrives. It's not going to be a problem when the car pulls up on the curb and you can see that, oh, that looks like perhaps that's my ride. Then you can go out and connect with the driver then. When you request a ride share and you're assigned a driver, always take a minute to check the driver's rating and to confirm the identity of the driver and the vehicle. I always look at what are the first, you know, obviously it says, you know, it's a cream-colored Mazda or whatever. Lots of cars look the same, especially if it's in the evening. So I like to be able to, I look at the first three numbers or letters of the license plate on the app so that when the car pulls up, I'm looking for a car that has AB7 on it. And then I have a pretty good idea that, that's my vehicle. That's something that you absolutely want to do. Of course, you're going to wear your seat belt, and you're going to sit in the back seat. This is particularly important if you're a woman. This is not to say that Uber and Lyft and rideshare drivers go around molesting people, but there have been situations like this where there has been unwanted physical contact between a driver and a rider. If you are in the back seat, it's a lot harder for that to happen. Also, for sure. If something happens or you become concerned about something, it's a lot easier to get out of the car from the back seat than it is from the front seat. So, again, this is not something that you're going to run into all the time. It's just a small thing. It provides a little extra measure. Before you get into the car, have the driver tell you your name. This is already common practice among most rideshare drivers. They will pull up, roll down the window, and say, "Hey, Mark." And I'll say yes. But if he doesn't say Mark, I'll say, "Who are you looking for?" Just so that we make sure. Listen, I don't want to take somebody else's car who has been waiting there, and I don't want to get into a car in a popular rideshare spot in an airport or something like that. Any car could pull up and say, "Hey, I'm your car, and you know your other car AB7 couldn't make it, so I'm your vehicle." So if you're my vehicle, then obviously you'll know what my name is and you'll know where I'm going. Don't share information about. Don't be chatty with a rideshare driver. Don't tell them where you're going and why and all of that kind of jazz. That's really none of their business, and it's not anything that is going to get you there faster. So personal information you should keep. And if you're going someplace in a remote area, you might even consider taking a picture of the ride and texting it to a friend or something like that and saying, "Hey, I'm in a rideshare. This is where I'm going. It's not someplace that a lot of people go, so I just wanted somebody to know where I am." Anyway, a few rideshare tips in case you are a rideshare user.
Well, all right. Those are all very good, and the things that you need to keep in mind. Ride sharing is very, very convenient, but can be a little confusing from time to time. We're bringing back on, actually, this is kind of like the first real interview with our travel gal. Her name is Sydney Skellinger. She is with a little company that she's created called The Poodle Booked It. Welcome back to The Travel Guys, Sydney.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Sydney's role on The Travel Guys is going to be to alert you to things that she stumbles across, something that's a really, you know, great deal, or has a favorite destination that she'd like to tell you a little bit about. And today, the favorite destination thing fits perfectly. She's going to tell us a little bit about Albania. Now, I confess I've never been there. I'm not a huge international traveler, but Sydney tells us Albania, if you're looking on a map, is between Greece and Montenegro. So Sydney, I'm going to let you tell folks a little bit about Albania, and then I'll jump in and ask you a couple of questions along the way.
So Albania is definitely one of those up-and-coming destinations. For those of you that kind of like to be a trendsetter, it's where Croatia was in terms of tourism in 2018, 2019. It has become super popular and will become more popular in the upcoming years. So I would definitely add it to your list now. And if you do that, it might be a little bit more affordable and less people to compete against. Some of the fun things that I really enjoy about it, first off, it has a really cool flag. It is a red flag with like a black double-edged eagle, and I think it's really cool. It also, Albania won its first ever Olympic medal this year in bronze, and so we are so excited about that. There are more than 750,000 bunkers across the country, for a country of 3 million people.
Let me jump in and ask you something about that. When you say bunkers, of course, this is part of the contested territory in World War I and World War II. So when you say bunkers, you're talking about the kind of bunkers that are built to protect people, like in World War I and World War II, correct?
Yes, exactly. They have almost one per every three people that live there. And wow. But now they've really been transformed into fun museums and hotels. I went to Durrës, Albania this summer, and when we went there, we went to a winery that uses their bunkers around them to store their wine. which is great. So it keeps it the correct temperature. Albania also has a similar climate to Italy. So it's a wonderful up-and-coming wine region.
The bunker thing is really kind of, doesn't that sound kind of interesting?
Yeah, it does. I tell you, it creates a vision, and you can chime in on this, Sydney, of a landscape with just lots of bumps all over the place, like groundhogs or whatever. It's just a bumpy landscape. Is that what it kind of looks like?
Yes, it is. On top of that, Albania is also 70% mountain. So it definitely, leads to that landscape.
If there's 750,000 bunkers in a country of 3 million, that's one bunker for every four people. So basically, people protected themselves or themselves and their neighbors or something like that. Really interesting. You said Albania is 70% mountains, but it's also sort of known for its oceanfront, for its waterfront, right? For the Riviera?
Yes. So actually, it has some really amazing untouched Rivieras. So similar to what you see in Italy and Croatia, it is that same sea. And so it has that beautiful ocean, wonderful beaches that you can just hang out at.
So you were in Albania. When were you there, Sydney?
July.
Oh, okay. So this has been very, very recently then.
I actually did it on a cruise stop. So I did a one day in Durres. And one of the things we did is we had a private guide who showed us the high levels of the Colosseum that they have there, which is the third largest in the world. We went wine tasting, and we just really just explored that fun little region. In general, I would say that you probably want to spend about 7 to 10 days if you really want to explore the capital, the countryside. They have some beautiful castles and things of that nature.
Now, you mentioned in the notes that you sent to me some different ways that people can see Albania, and we're going to have a link at travelguysradio.com so folks can access some of this information. But you specifically mentioned a last-minute Christmas market river cruise. European Christmas markets are kind of popular with folks as a travel destination. Can you tell me a little bit about this river cruise idea?
Yes. So we have a last-minute Christmas market cruise. It starts November 29th, so right, perfect timing, so you get them at the beginning. It's 6 days, 5 nights from Vienna to Budapest on Avalon waterways. It starts at $21.74 for a window room or $32.09 for panorama per person. And then for a poodle exclusive, it's $100 onboard credit if you book it through me.
Oh, cool, cool. A little extra there. Well, and considering how crowded Italy and Greece have been reported to be in recent years, you know, Lord knows in Venice they're trying to do what they can to manage tourists. Greece is having the same problem. So perhaps Albania presents a little bit of an alternative to some of those crowded areas. Before I let you go here, Sydney, obviously you have some information on how people can visit Albania. I'm going to put a link to your website so that people can contact you at travelguysradio.com. Before I let you go here, you visited Albania on a cruise. Obviously it was a short visit and it really whet your appetite to go back there. What are some of the other ways that you would suggest people trying to see the country?
So I definitely recommend a tour guide. There are private and then small group options. You can also go on a cruise. Oceana has one next year that, again, starts in Rome, ends in Venice, goes to Croatia, Albania. Oceana is kind of an amazing cruise line because it spends the most per capita on food. That starting at $32.99, and the poodle exclusive on that is free gratuities and $150 onboard credit if that's something that interests you.
Our special guest here on the Travel Guys is the Travel Gal. Sim going to be a regular here with us, I might add. Sydney Skellinger with the Poodle Booked It. Sydney, is Albania, I'm gathering that this is a relatively safe country.
It is. It doesn't have too much going on. You always do want to be safe no matter where you're going. You have to worry about pickpocketers and things of that nature, but you should be fine, but I cannot give a guarantee, of course.
Albania is the destination. Sydney is our travel gal. You can go to travelguysradio.com and you can get connected with Sydney. She'll be happy to get you some more information on how to go to Albania. She would also be very pleased, I'm sure, to book your vacation for you, or if you have any questions on any other destinations, you can give Sydney a shout. Sydney, we'll talk to you again in a few weeks right here on the Travel Guys when you have another exciting destination to share.
All right, sounds good. Can't wait.
Yeah,
there you go. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Sydney is just so perky and so exuberant. She sounds like somebody that would be very good at helping you put a little trip together. By the way, folks, we are not in business with Sydney and the poodle booked it. We're just trying to bring a fresh and a young feel to some of the information we bring you.
Absolutely. Listen, a couple things here before we go to the break. In the headlines at the top of the news, I mentioned there was a new way to get to the airport. Then I got to babbling and never mentioned the new way to get to the airport.
Oh, yeah. What is what hell? Let's bring that up.
Which would be of some interest to people, since the old way of getting out of the air, out of the airport is crowded sometimes. Elkhorn Boulevard has been extended all the way over to the airport, and it comes in around the ARCO station there, just past it. So if you are coming from Antelope or from Yuba City, Marysville, something like that, and your GPS says, hey, you know, the way into the airport is backed up, you can get off there and go in. Or if you're coming from Antelope, you just go across Highway 99 there and right into the airport. There is a new way to get in and out of the airport if you encounter some delays.
Yeah, and if you're coming from Sacramento, instead of staying on I-5, you just make that little veer to the right there and go up 99 until you get to Elkhorn and make a left, and you're on your way there.
There you go.
I took that road on the way home some time ago, on a way home from a trip that was, for whatever the reason, it was in the evening time. It was super crowded. You could see cars lined up way past the ARCO, just trying to get onto I-5. So we found the Elkhorn exit, and we headed east, and next thing you know, we were over by 99 and on our way home.
There you go. One other thing I wanted to mention here also, we have a lot of folks who do business with Sports Leisure Vacations who listen faithfully to this program. We had some phone issues at our office on Friday, so if you tried to call us, all you got was the recording. We tried to monitor it and call people back. It doesn't appear like it's been fixed yet, despite promises of the phone company on Friday. So if you try to reach us on Monday and you get a recording, just know that we're here, and we will get back to you as soon as we can at Sports Leisure Vacations.
There you go. You can send a note. Go to travelguysradio.com and put a message directly to Mark saying, hey, what's up with the phones? We want to book a trip.
Yeah, hot air balloons also work, you know, things like that. Yeah. Anyway, we're here. We're just at the mercy of the phone company at Sports Leisure Vacations to get our regular phone service back. Hopefully we'll come in Monday morning and all will be well. But since we do a lot of our business by telephone, if you're trying to reach us, that might be a little bit of an effort.
And while we're fixing things, a little earlier when I was talking about Rudy's Hideaway, I was advised that I said Howe Avenue.
Uh-huh.
And if somebody, you go down Highway 50 to Hazel, mm-hmm. and right there, Hazel, right off Hazel, is where you'll find Rudy's Hideaway.
If you go to Howe and you get off there and you're looking for a good place to eat, you might eventually stumble on Ruth Chris down by a little ways from the freeway there, but it's going to cost you a lot more money than it would cost you at Rudy's. So make sure you go to Hazel, not Howe.
Making you a smarter traveler, whether you like it or not. We are Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, whose phones have been messed up. So, what can I tell you? All right. This is the today we're going to call this the odds and ends segment as we go towards the top of the show. Don't forget now, travelguysradio.com, links to Sydney Skellinger, our travel gal, and lots more to make you a smarter traveler. All right, Mark, let's get to it.
I wanted to ask you this question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Would you pay more to choose the gender of your seatmate on an airplane? If you could look at the seating chart, and it would show you male, female, and you could pick your seating mate, mm-hmm. would you like to do that? And then the next question is, would you pay more for that privilege?
Wow, that's a great question. Now, I just have to assume that I'm not traveling with my family who would be sitting next to me to begin with. So I'm traveling alone. I'm going to somewhere and I'm looking at my seating chart and I can pick either, you know, probably not. I really don't care. But you and I talked about this briefly. I would probably prefer to pick based on the, a young lady or a woman on the basis that she's probably not going to consume as much of the seat next to me as a 49er football player. At any given time, it could be that. And I hate feeling crowded when I'm in a seat, regardless of whether I'm, at the window, center or aisle. Mm-hmm. And so I would say, I'd say I really don't care.
This is an Indian
and
airline.
I certainly wouldn't pay extra to choose who I was sitting next to me.
Okay. All right. This is an Indian airline called Indigo, which is offering this to only offering it to female travelers. Now, this is an important distinction. I didn't have this when we were talking before we went on the air. So because, you know, the theory, like we were talking, well, a man is always going to want to sit next to a woman. If it's a single guy, he's, you know, going to be looking for an opportunity. But women are not going to be all in favor of that. So in this case here, this airline is offering it for an opportunity to sit next to another lady. Yes. When you log on, it will show you where there are open seats and who has identified as a female. I don't even want to get into the whole trans thing and how that fits into this, but it will identify you as a female on the plane so that hypothetically a woman would be able to pick a seat next to another woman. Like you said, if my reasoning would be because men tend to be larger bodies, and they also, there's this thing called man spreading. Sometimes men get on airplanes and they feel like that they're entitled to 50% of the space in the seat next to them. So I try not to be one of those people, but certainly they do exist. So for that reason and that reason only, I'd rather be next to a woman, as you said, because they probably represent a smaller body mass, which on an airplane is of some consideration because the space you're buying is very limited.
You know, Mark, give some people some advice. You fly a lot, mm-hmm. and you run into man spreading mm-hmm. on a regular basis, and I know that you have some feelings about how to deal with man spreading when it starts to occur on the plane. What's your advice?
And remember that I'm a guy, so this may be a little bit different for a lady. But when it happens, you get on and somebody starts encroaching in your space. It's never happened with a woman. But when a guy does it, I fight back immediately. Even if it means touching the other person, if a guy, man spreading generally refers to legs being spread out more than the width of the seat that you are allocated, the space you're allocated. Mm-hmm. So I just stick my knee up there and right up against theirs and reclaim my space. And sometimes you get a look from the person of, what the hell are you doing? And it's like, you know, I just look right back at them. What the hell are you doing? You know, this is my space. And then I leave my leg there for a while so they get the point. And if later on in the flight the same thing happens, as soon as I notice it, I immediately, even if the person in the seat next to me has fallen asleep, I immediately go back and reclaim my space. And it's never led to an issue. Sometimes they look at you a little weird because it's like, hey, this is the way I roll on airplanes. And it's like, well, it isn't the way you roll today because I want the space that I paid for. So there you go. I can see the smile on your face now already. But, yeah, that's the way I fight back is I just reclaim the space right away. Hey, you know, there are certain things on an airplane. The window shade is controlled by the person on the window. The two middle armrests are generally considered to belong to the person in the middle seat because they have the middle seat, so you're giving them two armrests and the other people are getting one, hypothetically. So you only get the space that is defined by your seat. You don't get the person next to you's space unless that seat is empty and you paid for it. So anyways, moving right along.
Well, there you go. You know, that's valuable information, and it's coming from somebody with a lot of experience. I think the real point is to not allow the man spreading and all of this to go on for a long time, and then try to yeah. claim your space, but to immediately, when it starts to happen, stake your claim, you know, and determine what your space is going to be, and don't be bullied from the first minute of the flight.
I'm sorry if you're a large person and you need a little extra space, but that isn't my issue. That's your issue, and you can talk to the airline. You can buy a seat up front where there's more room. You do whatever you need to do, but your issue isn't my issue when we get on the plane. I can see listeners applauding out yeah. there as we speak.
Well, back to our original topic here, and that is paying to pick the gender of the person sitting next to you on the plane. Did they say what a lady would have to pay extra for that?
They didn't. Okay. But I'm guessing it would be a modest amount. But obviously, they've gone to. We'll see in a couple 3 months. We'll see how this is working. It's Indigo Airlines, so it's not a U.S.
So
airline.
this is actually happening on Indigo.
It is. There is a, the news release I got shows a picture of one of the seating charts showing open seats and seats occupied by females. So you can automatically assume that if it's not open and it doesn't show a female, it's occupied by a guy. All right, moving along here. We've had the guys from TSA on our program before, and they have one of the things they mentioned was that they offer private screening. If somebody needs to get through screening and they've got, you know, some negotiable securities, or you're a jeweler and you got a whole bunch of jewelry, you know, that you're carrying with you, you don't want the whole public to know that you're doing that, that they would offer private screening. I have a note here from someone who needed that private screening, contacted TSA in Sacramento. They took care of it for them with great professionalism. There were actually two people traveling, and they got them through security upstairs and made sure that their privacy was insured and stuff like that. So I really want to congratulate and thank Dale and Sid, all the people out at TSA. You know, I use TSA all the time in Sacramento. I've never had an issue with anybody out there, ever.
No, me neither.
They're always polite. Everybody has a bad day, but we're all just, you know, they're just trying to get us through security, and we're just trying to get through security. So we all have the same goal. Sometimes you have to take a deep breath, but anyways, it was nice of them. It's nice to know that service that they offer. So if you're someone who goes through security and you have some things that you're concerned about, how they are seen or something, you can contact TSA in Sacramento, and I'm guessing this service is probably available in other airports. Listen, on this program, I have not been shy about giving our president a little grief about the fact that when he came into office, one of his things that he was going to go after was these junk fees, and the fact that we hadn't seen a lot of progress on that until recently. Now California has enacted a law which other states are either protesting or falling in line behind. So we're seeing some work, and the president has dedicated himself the last 6 months to trying to make some headway in some of the other junk fees that are regularly hoisted upon us. There's a whole list of them here. I don't have time to go into them, but it sounds kind of like he's on the ball. I mean, he's a lame duck at this point. So what a good legacy that you would have if you can get rid of some of this garbage that people charge us and make them tell us up front. Because if you make them tell us up front, they're not going to do it. The whole point of it is to get money that you wouldn't have gotten otherwise, and to get it in some cases in a way that's taxed very differently. Okay, here's an interesting thing from Travelers United. They did a survey of over 500 travelers. These are frequent travelers now. 3% of them said they would fly when they were sick because it would be too costly to make new arrangements.
Yeah, so I'm afraid that's accurate.
Yeah, I'm afraid it is too. And one more thing here from United Airlines, they have a seat preference option now on their app that if you don't get the seat that you want, you can tell them what you would like to have, and they will notify you if it becomes available. Apparently about 40% of the people who use that service are getting into the seat they want before they fly. So congratulations to United for figuring out a way to help get people the seat they want. And that's the end of the odds and ends for today. I guess I should just say, dance like nobody's watching, huh?
All right. Sounds good. Yeah. Next week, by the way, we're going to dip into the Travel Guys mailbag. Go to TravelGuysRadio.com if you want to leave a question for us to do on the air. In the meantime, stay well, my friends.